Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul, is you living? We all under attack, is you different? I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner. Gangs got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills dead, they took for Rome. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitory he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله مباد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and salam peace to you all. And surely this is another blessed night where the grace of Allah and His mercy, we are all here tonight again. That's right, doing what we do best. Point of impact, y'all. Point of impact. That's right, the podcast, the real underground podcast that talks about direct issues, direct talk, come up with direct solutions. And you know, we're here tonight, myself, of course, you know who I am, Derek L. Hansford, a.k.a. Minhaj, a.k.a. Malai. That's right, along with my beautiful, beautiful host, my co-host, my beloved queen, mother, and sister, of course, Krista Ellison, and our Good beloved, evening. My beloved brother, Hassan Shabazz. Yeah. Hassan, you with us, brother? Yeah, we got a wonderful show tonight. We have a beautiful guest tonight that's joining us, a beautiful brother by the name of Mubarak. And, I spoke with Mubarak to come on to the show for many reasons, but most of all, I'm going to let him tell you most about himself. But, this young brother is, since I've been home and knowing him from the barbed wire city, you know, I'm very, very much, I kind of look up to him. I'm very proud of him and what he's doing with his life. So we're going to meet him tonight. But we want to remind you all, December the 17th, that's right, Saturday, this weekend coming up, right out here in Northampton Boulevard, we're going to be doing it. Point of Impact is having its Night of Recognition fundraiser, first ever annual fundraiser that we're having for Point of Impact. Come through, y'all. I'm telling you, it's going to be a beautiful event. You can go on the Facebook page and see the flyer. It's been up for the past 2 weeks. Please check us out. It's going to be a lovely event, food. It's going to be, you know, no alcohol beverages, but there will be drinks. And it's going to be live entertainment. We have beautiful speakers coming through. And, listen, it's going to be a really good night for the community and community activists to come together and talk about issues together and meet one another and politic with one another and striving towards bringing change in the criminal justice arena so that we can bring reform, because this is a necessity, and that's what this program is all about, bringing reform, rectification, and re-education to our community and recultivation. So do we have our guests with us tonight? It's Mubarak, you with us, brother? Assalamu alaikum. Mubarak? Okay. Hey, Sean, do you have any caller there?
He got to press one. It's young.
Mubarak, press one, brother. Press one so that you can speak.
He must not be in yet. He must not be in yet.
Okay, let me, sometimes, you know, sometimes there's issues with our guests getting on the show. But in the meantime, in between time, we all know that there's a, hello? We all know that there's a great deal of, says line busy. Let me get his number for us so we can call the brother. And that way we can just pull him up on the line, everyone. And get him on the line. Sometimes
in the meantime, how was everyone's weekend? What did you do for your weekend, Brother Malaf?
Well, I spent my weekend with my family and meeting extended family. And, you know, we had a wonderful time together. And also, you know, I spent a little bit of the time getting myself in order because I'm studying to get my permit for my CDLs. So I've been preparing for that. And, you know, trying to do it big.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that right.
I can borrow some,
know,
right?
But that's gonna run hand in hand with us having our own trucking company.
We borrow some, girl. You ain't got to never worry about borrowing none. Shoot, you ain't got to borrow none. So you're going to be able to get it.
We're going to call it POI trucking.
I had a girlfriend.
I like that.
I had a girlfriend who quit teaching to get her CDL. So it is money.
Yeah.
She was like, paying her enough, so she quit and to get her. So I get it.
There's definitely some dividends in that field that I gotta get. You know, see what happened. Let me tell you what happened to me though. See, I was supposed to be actually attending the classes back in July. And I had reached out to, you know, a company called Arm to Arm who was supposed to be helping me to get my PRS, my peer recovery specialist license. And so they ended up, you know, going through some situations, and I had to wait actually like 3 months And I waited 3 months for them to finally get me into the class. Then when I got into the class, then they shut me down because, you know, I had told them from the beginning that I wasn't very computer savvy and literate. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, you know, that, you know, they're going to get me in there. And then when I got to begin the class, I wasn't moving fast enough at the initial class. And I was like, you know, just telling them, like, just let me get a grip of what you want me to do. I can have somebody show me, you know. Man, they literally closed the door on me. But no, you know, and no ill feelings.
This is one of our problems that we have when it comes to education. They do not cater to your learning style as they should.
Exactly.
Everyone has a different.
Oh, hold on. He's calling him up now.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Wa alaikum salam, Robert. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Mubarak. How are you, beloved? How is everything?
Everything is good.
You're on the line now with myself and my co-host, Queen Mother Krista Ellison, and brother, my beloved brother Hassan Shabazz. But welcome, man.
How you doing? Good evening. Good evening. How you doing? Alhamdulillah. Good evening. How you doing?
Why don't you tell everybody who you are and you know, tell us a little about yourself, man, and, you know, what's going on with you, brother?
I mean, you know, first and foremost, I want to praise Allah to Barak, what's the honor, God to be praised, and likewise, send us salat and salam from the messenger of Allah and his companions. As far as I go, my name is, you know, Abdullah Mubarak. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. Raised in Norfolk, Virginia, by the way. My life was kind of clear cut. You know, I was raised in a toxic environment in Norview. My parents, my dad and my mother were both, you know, addicted to, you know, crack cocaine and things like this. So subsequently, I was a product of my environment. I found myself, you know, getting involved in things as far as, you know, gangs and, you know, dealing with drugs, actually using drugs and being a presence in my community. It wasn't until I was 14 or 15, I had got 6 months for a crime I committed, you know, which I'm ashamed of, by the way. I want to put that out there. I did 6 months. I came home. You know, I was kind of, you know, I was doing kind of good at one point. Got around the wrong people, even though they, you know, I had a good intention to try to do what was right, but being around the wrong people can kind of sway you the wrong way, so to speak. You won't even really notice it till it's actually too late. I went to the penitentiary for 9 years, 8 years, say about 8 years. You know, now I'm home. You know, I'm home, man. I'm just thankful to have the opportunity to be talking to the people, just, you know, share my experiences and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Yeah, man.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy but real. Like, I too can identify with, you know, my parents weren't. My mom never used. She never used any types of substances. But my dad and many of those who were close to me, like my uncles, people I kind of looked up to, were all caught into that toxic, you know, lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. And of course, you know, it was a part of the effect of, you know, me becoming the person that I became early on in my life too. You know, Sister Krista, you want to speak to the brother?
I've never experienced that from neither one of my parents, but, you know, just being around my friends and loved ones that I mean, kids that I grew up with and have to deal with that, and I saw the path that, you know, it led, you know, for my friends and for the family, so I most definitely understand the struggle. It's, you know, you don't foresee things that happen, you know, to you as a child, but when you grow up and you know, you're able to make that transition into adulthood, if your tool belt isn't filled properly, then you're, it's easy to fall short. So I get it,
yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And so now when you returned home, what was your pursuit? Because that was, from what I'm knowing of you, brother, that was your point of impact. That was just that impact in your life that you saw necessary to recultivate yourself, re-educate yourself. And what transpired through you, through that experience, to make you to where you are, you know, to get you to walk the path that you're walking today?
To expound on what Ms. Crystal had mentioned, man, I just wanted to say that, you know, even to this day, I'm being impacted by that particular, those actions. It wasn't until I had to identify the child in me that was still hurt. As an adult, I was fine. I was functional. You know, I had my faculties. I was, you know, moving how I'm supposed to move in society. But, you know, my inner child was still affected by those actions of my parents. So I wasn't fully resolved. I wasn't really 100%, so to speak, you know. And I still held some type of animosity towards my parents for those actions. You know, asking myself, you know, why did I go through this? Asking myself, why was she, or how could she do this to me? How could she leave me here and leave me there with this person I don't know, and so on and so forth, subjecting me to certain situations, you know, by the grace of Allah, I didn't fall into. Or I wasn't, you know, molested and things of that nature. But, you know, due to her actions, all these particular things played a role. And it could have took place, but it didn't. Yeah. So to a certain extent, I came home, you know, and I still hit on to that. You know, it wasn't until as of recently that I actually dealt with those issues, inwardly and outwardly.
Yes,
and I can honestly say that it made me a better individual, you know, for those who are around me. To backtrack a little bit, when you said, you know, to expound how it affected me, actually, in reality, to some extent, it actually fortified in me. It actually made me stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't make me weak to a certain extent, because I knew I didn't want to tread down that path she treaded down, or likewise my father.
Right.
So to a certain extent, it did make me stronger. It did fortify me, solidify me as a person. But like I mentioned to you previously, I couldn't really go forward because of that hurt and because of that pain I didn't address with my family and with those who hurt me.
Right.
It wasn't until I embraced Islam that I really understood, you know, the effects of the environment. It wasn't until I embraced Islam that I understood that my parents deserved that right to be spoken to. They deserved that right to be talked to. They deserved that right to my forgiveness. And likewise, I should forgive them. They're my parents. I love them. You know, and I kind of understand to a certain extent that, you know, what my mom was doing, you know, she did the best she could by her son. You know, she did what she could by me. You know, it wasn't the best. You know what I mean? It wasn't the best. But, you know, she did what she could. And for that, I love her for that. You know, it's a lot of times in which the people, they sit back and reflect and think about things, about the negative things. It's so quick to pull up the negative things. Well, he didn't do this, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do that. Wow. But it's so seldom that we pull up the positive things, even in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in a bad situation, brother, bro. Boy, I'm sorry.
Brother Hassan, you want to speak to Barak is saying?
Yes, sir. Indeed. And salam alaikum to y'all.
Alaykum salam to the country.
What you're saying now as it pertains to your relationship with your family, and even through the negativity, because I've been through that myself, and proceed to go through it in many ways with many trials and obstacles that we face coming home. As you know, I did 23 and a half. And I came home to a certain situation that I really didn't realize existed while I was incarcerated. But what I learned through all of that is that Allah is the Rab or nourisher, or what we call Lord, right? And Rab is a word that means nourisher unto perfection. And so a lot of times we don't realize that the circumstances and the situations we've been taken through is necessary to nourish us and turn us into the perfect man or Khalifa that Allah would want us to be. And so I see that in a lot of the brothers that have whatever form or fashion that they may say that they have done so. When I hear the word Islam attached to it, I learn that every individual goes through their own process of evolution. And so that's what I hear going on with you, man. And I'm really proud and appreciative of your efforts to maintain that positive energy, that essence that you're doing right now in the community. And, you know, that is necessary for people to know and understand that this is what we're doing now, regardless of what we have made done in the past. But we take our past with us. And so we embrace that.
Yes.
So I just, you know, shared a little bit about how you've been able to take your past and turn it into something positive for you.
No, Alhamdulillah. No, I'm sorry.
No, come on, bro.
No, go ahead, brother. This your show, man. I'm just a guest. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead and talk to me, man.
This your show tonight, Jack. This your show tonight, beloved. Yeah, go ahead and speak, brother.
Now, I just wanted to say, man, you know, Alhamdulillah, you know, as it relates to, like you mentioned, bro, as far as, you know, my experiences in the prison, you know, I will say all love and all truthfulness that Islam got me through all of that. You know, it wasn't by my doing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't by nobody else's doing. It was by the decree of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, first and foremost. And, you know,
right.
Islam, you know, for me was a means. It was an avenue. It was a blessing, you know, that got me through those situations. And,
yes, sir.
You know, it's just, you know, when you don't have, you know, certain faculties or certain types of principles or morals or good character, you know, you find that people involved in a lot of indecent things. You know, not saying I wasn't involved in these things either, right? You know, I'm a human being. I got deficiencies. I fall short. However, as it relates to Islam, you know, when you fear your creator, when you fear your Lord, you know, certain things get put in perspective for you. Your life itself gets put in perspective for you. And therefore, you have a particular belief, a particular role, you have to be a particular example for the people around you. And this is what Islam made me do over the years of me processing certain things and, you know, going through certain trials and tribulations that, you know, Islam reared me through that. You know, so I'm definitely grateful. You know, I definitely show my gratitude, you know, that, you know, without Islam, you know, I wouldn't probably be here today. I'd probably be in somebody's prisons or probably be in somebody's graveyard. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity to come home and do it a different way because my way wasn't the right way. You know, it wasn't the right way because anything that lands you in prison, you know, intentionally, you know, it's not the right way to go. You know, it's not the right way to go, you know. So to be honest with you, you know, to your co-host also, you know, Islam was my reform. Islam was my reentry. Islam was my therapy. Islam was everything for me and everything to me. You know, so that's how I made it out of that situation, man, with my faculties intact, with my mind intact, because unfortunately we can attest to a lot of people that comes out of those situations, man, they don't come out right.
You're right. That's right.
They don't come out right, man.
And
you know, they no.
I want before we go any further, let me let my producer bring in a guest, not a guest, but someone who's been wanting to listen to her. She can't get through, so we're going to let him call her, and then we're going to pick up the conversation. Go ahead, Jay Sean. Because it's going to ring because he can't mute it. So he's going to just get her on the line. I'm going to get her on the line so she can listen. Because we definitely want to, you know, appease our guests, people who are listening, you know.
Okay, she's on. You can continue. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I want to, for those who don't know, Point of Impact is actually a book written that this show is a follow-up from. The show is a follow-up from Point of Impact, the actual book. Point of Impact is abbreviated as a POI, Prisoners of Incarceration. And when I wrote the book, I wrote it to remind people that, you know, first and foremost, you cannot allow yourself to be prisoner to the experiences of your life that may have, you know, misdirected your path, or the experiences of your life, whether it was through your own doing or through somebody else's doing, you know, we really needed to understand, as I understood and comprehended, that I had to deal with the primary issues that was affecting my life, you know. And as one who was addicted to drugs as well, and things of that nature, you know, I used to always think drugs was my problem. But then I started to understand, as I educated myself more about addiction and things of this nature, that drugs were only the issues that compounded my problems. You see, what was my problem was the issues I was striving to ignore and seeking relief from, you know. And it is that brought me, you know what I'm saying, to write the book and the experience of reminding people that, you know, incarceration isn't just a physical thing. You know, you can incarcerate yourself by constantly living in something that you need to let go of. You know, and what I'm hearing tonight is exactly the transition that you strive towards, brother, and you took the initiative of in dealing with the primary issues in your life, not faulting anyone else, not blaming anyone else, but taking the governance of your own life and pushing forward. So, you know, now you've been home how long now?
No, I'm 10 years now, brother.
10 years?
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And right now you're very active, of course, in the community, the Salafi community, pushing the da'wah. How do you see it necessary to, what do you feel is necessary in the society that we come from? What do you feel would be a necessary need to help aid other young brothers and sisters, you know, with the knowledge of Islam and things that you have incurred through your experience to, you know, help recultivate and help re-educate the community to help people to find their way? What would you suggest to them? What would your message
be? You know, to be honest. No, I honestly speaking, man, I think you just answered it for me, man. I think it would be honestly Islam, you know, Islam first and foremost, you know, cultivation, you know, and education, you know. A lot of the youth, you know, they don't have any guidance, you know. They don't have any guidance. They don't have anybody to turn to talk to. They don't have that shoulder to lean on. They don't have that support system, right, because their mom is either doing this or their dad is either doing that. Or they don't have a mom, or they don't have a dad. So in a lot of cases, they're left to their own faculties. You know, this is what leads them to the bad companionship. This is what leads them to the prison systems. This is what leads them to ultimately death if they don't turn around and change their ways. And the only way individuals can rectify their affairs in totality is they have to embrace Islam. You know, you have to submit to Islam and understand that this is the only way to rectify the affairs of society. You know, nothing else is going to rectify the affairs of society. You know, we see what's going on now in America. You know, a lot of things being legalized, a lot of things being done on the news, and a lot of things getting shot up, people being killed, and so on and so forth. You know, this is not correct cultivation. You know, this is more of a corruption than anything. You know, when a person can walk into a building and shoot 16 people, right? And this individual get probation, right? This isn't cultivation. This isn't education. This is confusion and chaos, right? How can a person live safe or live comfortably in a home knowing that they could be a target or be killed ultimately, right?
That's right.
So with Islam brings peace and it brings security, right? It brings peace and it brings security. You can't find any other way of life, right, that brings the type of peace and security other than Islam. Because mind you, not to be funny or be disrespectful, but I'm just keeping it real. This is a Christian country. And we find mostly everything that's not supposed to be done being done in this country. Everything. Right? And a lot of these things are getting promoted by people who have money, and they're the high influencers. So there's only so much you can do in those situations. Like, right? Either you're going to submit, or you're going to stand up and fight. Not, and I'm not saying go out and kill people and shoot guns. I don't know. When I say fight, I mean put the pen to the paper and write. Mm-hmm. Put the pen to the paper, talk to the proper people, the proper sources, and get things done. But us as a community, as far as the African Americans, not saying I'm racial, nothing like that, but I'm just being honest. As African Americans, we're the minority. We're the minority in a lot of situations, and in most cases, we approach this racism incorrectly. We approach it incorrectly. So therefore, when you approach them incorrectly, you're going to get bad results.
That's right.
And this is a lot of the times. You know what I mean? When I see certain things being done or see certain things being said on TV and so on and so forth, and it's just not right, man. It's not right. There was a shooting last night in Greenbrier Mall.
Wow.
It was shooting last night. Why is this going on? What are we doing? And I'm not just saying me or you or your co-host. I mean, as a collective body, what are we doing to come up to the table to say this is enough?
Right. And that's something that I speak to a lot, because I try, you know, the thing that I strive to do a lot of time is to get the older generation to do away with this nonsense of, you know, you hear a lot of older people saying, man, I ain't got time for these kids today. I can't. This a whole different. And I try to remind people that when you was in your youthful days, this is the same rhetoric the elders would say about us. You understand what I'm saying? But somebody found the time to lower their wing. Somebody found the time to have compassion. Somebody found the time to give me the attention that I needed in order to move forward. You know, and so it's very imperative. It's very imperative for the elders of our community to be more, collectively, especially, to be more active, to play more of a role in striving to share the experience, but not so much the experience of living a good life, but understanding that without a foundation rooted to Allah, to God, there is no success. How you want to think that you can achieve things? You know, the reality is that we live in a cruel, cold world. And if you're not taking the time to learn how to cleanse your heart, because it all starts with your heart. And what we have is a society of hardened hearts. You see, and this is why when you turn on your television, this is why when you turn on your music, this is why when you walk out into your street, you see a people of cold-heartedness. You see, because this is what society is pushing into our community. You know, and it's very, you know, very important to me that more voices, especially in the Islamic community, I do my best to encourage brothers to step forward, because brothers like yourself, there are many brothers that have an impact. And when these young men and these young ladies can observe and see people who are just like them, coming from just where they came from, making turns of positivity in their life, they're more able to adapt. You know what I'm saying? They're more able to see possibilities of promising change for them. Queen Mother, sister, you want to speak?
Yes, I was just listening to and a lot of different things was going through my mind, you know, where it speaks of how the mothers will go against the daughters will go against the mothers, the sons will go against the fathers will go against the sons. And then as I was speaking, thinking about the scene in Wakanda, Black Panther, where the guy went back to his ancestors, and he had to rebuke them because they didn't set them up for greatness, you know, and they didn't do their part. So he kind of gave them a rebuke in the movie, and that's how I interpreted that scene. Right. Whereas we, you know, if our ancestors or we drop the ball for those who come after us, we have to repent and reset.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But we have to take we too have to take some type of accountability and responsibility for what the damage that we've done as well. soul, you know, and pick up the pieces. If you fall 10 times, you get up 10 times.
That's right. That's right. Before we go any further, Jay Shaw, do we have anybody would like to speak or comment or ask a question to the Brother Mubarak or add on to what Brother Mubarak has been saying, what we've been speaking here tonight?
If they do, they need to press 1 at this time.
Well, let me remind anyone, if you would like to comment or give any feedback or positivity, please press 1, and we would love to hear what it is that you would like to say and share with us, okay? So, you know, the turning point, and this is what I revealed in the book, Point of Impact, was that for me, Islam was my barometer towards truth. You know, and one of the things that conflicts me a lot with our society is that we're so conflicted with each other that we can't even recognize, you know, the necessary need of our developing our society, our community. You know, we do live in a community, a society where this is Christian-based, but this country allows everyone to practice their belief system. So with right. that being, you know, if I, you know, when I go home, I'm, you know, I don't go to my residence and I'm surrounded with the brothers and sisters that I go to Jumu'ah with, or I'm in Salat prayer with. You know, majority of my communities are people who don't believe as I believe. But we have a responsibility, as no matter what our beliefs are, we all have a responsibility to the betterment of our society. And one of the things that is most valued as a Muslim is to safeguard humanity. And, you know, I always strive to remind brothers and sisters that, man, you know, you're not a nationalist just because you see the deprivation that is impacting the black community and speaking against it. That doesn't make you a nationalist. That doesn't make you a black nationalist. You know what I'm saying? And you should always – it doesn't matter – wherever you see deprivation being relevant, you need to speak against it. You understand? The Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's praise and salutation be upon him, he was sent as Allah tells us, as the best example. And when I study his surat, his walk and his travel in life, you know, you see how, you know, he, like many of the prophets and messengers, like Isa, like Musa, like Moses and Jesus, like Abraham, you know, they all spoke to the community in the essence of, you know, striving towards righteousness, striving to attain the knowledge to live an upright life. You understand? And I just believe that that is something that community put more effort in doing instead of people trying to oppress one another. You understand? In just striving to bring about good, we can do a lot more better for ourselves. Mubarak, you want to speak to that, bro?
Yeah.
No, actually, brother, you said it better than I did, man. You know, just following the methodology of the prophets that came before us, and you know how they called their people to the worship of one God and one God alone, and so on and so forth. You know, how they had a very tremendous impact on their followers and their community and their nation. You know, even though they had some individuals during that time who were rebellious, who rejected and so on and so forth, if you look at it, you know, there were a lot of people who embraced their way and embraced their methodology. You know, we have strayed away from that. You know, we have really strayed away from that, and we find ourselves really indulging the doctrines of men and doing things that men have come up to, and men have come up with them own selves. And you find that when man brings certain ideas to the situation, it always falters. It always fails. It's going to falter. It's going to fail. When you're dealing with something that's created, right, it's going to falter. It's going to fail. It's just for a certain amount of time because it's not built on sincerity. It's not built on any type of trust. It's built on one word. It's called desire. That's what it's built upon, right? So when you're trying to establish something based upon your desires, right, and it's not built upon sincerity, it's not built upon being truthful, not wanting good for the people in totality, is going to fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's
right. Brother Hassan, you want to speak to that?
Right. Man, it, listen, brothers have already said a mouthful, but I, you know, I like to make it so simple that even a fool can see it and say that this is truth, man. Because, you know, we live in the information age, so, you know, everything that we're doing now is based on reaction. You know, we're reacting to everything that's going on around us. We're not truly properly responding. And to be able to respond, you got to know what you're dealing with. And so, we live in basically, you know, Christian nation. But what I would say to that essence is this. I wrote a post the other day where I said Allah is not a respecter of person. I said that Allah God is a respecter of deeds. See, when the Quran speaks about, you know, when Allah says in the Quran in Surah 2, Ayat 62, he says, surely those who believe and those who are Jews and Christians and the Sabians, whosoever believes in Allah and the last day and does good, they shall have their reward with their Lord. And there is no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. Now listen, I don't know about you, but what I heard in that right there was a mouthful, because it says that Allah says that those who believe, he didn't just say just believe, he didn't stop at belief. He said that those who believe and do good.
Well, you're right. You know, when you observe, the people used to ask the messenger, Muhammad, may the praise and salutations be upon him. He would pray constantly. One night he had prayed about, 70-something, he had made 70-something rakats in prayer. And you can see his feet cracking. And so the companions, they came to say, oh, messenger, you have been promised paradise. Why do you pray so much? And he said, it's by only Allah's mercy that we attain paradise. It's only by his mercy. You know, we can't walk around and believe just because we say we believe that that's going to attain that felicity of paradise in our lives and in the hereafter. You understand? And that's why it's so important for people to first and foremost, act with knowledge. Knowledge precedes your speech and action. So when you're doing something, you shouldn't be doing it without knowledge of, first and foremost, what you're doing. Your actions should be the semblance of what you're doing. Then comes your speech. You know what I'm saying? Because once you've obtained the knowledge, it calls for you to act. You know, when you become, and I'm going to use the analogy, and may I be forgiven if I'm incorrect, but I'm going to use the analogy of a mechanic. A mechanic, he can't go and grab your car and start to work on your transmission unless he has first what? Knowledge of how the transmission operates, right? And functions.
Right.
And then he can go ahead and take the necessary tools to adjust to make that transmission do what he would like for it to do. And then he can explain to you what he is doing as to why this is necessary in order to get the transmission to, act properly so that the car can function properly. And this is what we as human beings need to be doing. You know what I'm saying? This society that we live in today is a society where people just, they grab a hold of something, and as the brother was speaking of Hawa, their desire, they grab a hold of something based solely upon their desires, and they jump into it, and they just start pushing it and pushing it when there's no type of ikhlas, sincerity, or truthfulness in what they're doing. And it is just all about, attaining success in this life, not even having a concern about the harm that is causing others. And there's too much of that going on in our society. There's too much of that going on in society. So, Brother Mubarak, if you don't mind, I want to share with the people something that I was so grateful that you placed on Facebook. And you placed a beautiful, and I'd like for you to speak to it, but you said, and I'm going to quote your words, you said, and it's a very concise speech, and you took it from Salah al-Araini, and you said, just because they hang around and laugh with you doesn't mean they are your friend. People pretend well, so pay attention. And then you quoted from one of the renowned scholars of Islam. You said, Al-Azai, said, a time will come in which the rarest thing of that era will be a good friend. And I think I would like you to speak more to the younger generation as to what you were saying about just because they hang around you and laugh with you doesn't mean they are your friends. And people pretend well, so pay attention. Can you speak more to that, brother? Because that was I've been on that all day. That was a beautiful quote. Can you speak more to that, to the youth?
Yeah, you know, actually, man, I actually experienced that. You know, so, you know, when I posted that, it actually hit home for me. You know, when I got into the situation I was in, far as the 9 years or the 8 years, excuse me, I don't keep saying 9 years for. When I got into the 8 year situation, these were my homeboys, man. These were guys I loved and I cared about, willing to die for and kill for at one particular point in my life. And I seen that when it got critical, well, actually, I seen before I went in that things started to change between us. You know, it was a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy, a lot of malice going on between us. And I couldn't pinpoint why that was going on. I couldn't really pinpoint it. But as I sat in the prison, I was like, I know where it was coming from. And I said, you know why they was starting to dislike me? Because I wanted to change. I wanted to do what was better for myself. You know, I didn't want to be in that environment anymore. I didn't want to be around that type of so quote-unquote energy anymore. You know, I wanted to do something that was right for myself. You know, I wanted to big myself up and help myself, man. You know what I'm saying? And I really wanted that for myself. But unfortunately, like I said earlier, unfortunately, you can have a good intention and still be wrong. You can have a good intention and still be wrong. You know, and that's what happened, man. These guys were smiling in my face. I love you, bro. And, you know, this, that, and the third. And we willing to do whatever we're willing to do. But when it came down to us, when it came down to me and them, they chose them. They chose themselves. When... In a lot of situations, when it came to us and them, I chose them over me. I chose my own freedom. I chose my own freedom. I chose my life over these guys. I love these guys, man. They were like my road dogs. I was going to do whatever I could to show them that I love them. You know what I mean? But the whole time, as I'm older now, I can see that love wasn't being reciprocated. It never was. It never was, man. You know, so. You have to be very mindful who you're dealing with, because everybody you smile and joy and talk with, they don't have your best of interest. They don't.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have similar activities or similar interests or whatever the case may be. Just because that's the case doesn't mean that y'all are meant to be together. That doesn't mean that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Krista, you want to speak, bro?
No, I'm here.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, bro. Go ahead, Mubarak.
Yeah, like you got to be very mindful who you deal with. Like it's like going to the doctor, right? The doctor gives you a particular medication you have to take, you know, and you have to read the instructions on the medication, how many times you need to take it a day, and so on and so forth. Because if you take too much, you can get ill. If you don't take it at all, you can get ill. So you got to be very mindful of how you take this medication. How much more your friends and your companions? How much more the people that you deal with, and this is on the same way, the same exact way you take that medicine on a daily basis, the same way with your companionship. This is on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with these individuals. You talk to these individuals and so on and so forth. So you have to be very, very mindful who you deal with and trust. Because when you think about it, the person you deal with the most, they'll know your deep, dark secrets, the things that people don't know about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... when you do have a falling out, guess what? Your business in the street now.
Ooh,
everything you ever told this individual, from your deep dark secrets, everything you ever confined this person with, is out there in the street now. So where's the real loyalty at?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the loyalty?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
So
no.
No.
Yeah, Jason, we got anybody called in? Oh, that was fire. Man, that's what I'm talking about, man. Jay, so we got any callers calling in? Anybody want to add on, comment?
Five eight eight five.
Hello.
Peace.
Hi.
Peace. How you doing? Hello. And who's speaking?
Latoya.
Oh, hey, Latoya. How you doing? Joining us again. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I thank God. I thank God. Yes. I just want to comment. Okay. It's always a great show. It's always wealth of information on this podcast, I must say. So that's why I listen to it every time. And I just want to say each one teach one to continue on and ask God to keep on leading each one of y'all going to continue following. Each and every one of y'all voices here, especially the gentleman that's on the line right now. You could just continue asking God. Continue asking him, and he's going to lead you. Just continue asking.
Wow, that was easy. Thank you, Latoya. You are so profound, and we deeply appreciate you. You're always giving very, very insightful comments. We really enjoy that. Krista, you want to speak, sis? You want to speak to that?
I can just say that, you know, our conversations are always food for thought. There's always some meat in it and, you know, bread so we can, you know, give back to our children. We all have very different aspects and different angles. So when I do go back into the community and when we touch on something different every time. We keep it, you know, fresh. It's not scripted. This is our raw, uncut feelings and conversations that we have. So people can really understand that this is a struggle that we're all facing. We're all going through it together. You know, we have our own individual trials and tribulations, but at the end of it all, we're all fighting to get to the same, you know, common goal, and that's just to succeed and be successful. Not financially successful, but, you know, just successful in wealth and prosperity. So I really enjoy, you know, the brother tonight, that's our guest speaker, you know, just being transparent and allowing the listeners to listen to his truth, because we all go through it. I know for myself, you know, my struggle was not with my mother and father, because I felt like I had a balanced home, but mine was with the Creator more so, because I felt like I was doing everything right. You know, I wasn't into any trouble. I was a teenager who was making good grades in school, and then one spring break, a man broke into the house on me, and I was like, I wound up cursing God. So my battle was not so much with my parents. My falling out was with the Creator. So I had to, him and I had like a tussling, I would say, of a relationship where I thought that I was covered. And then when I felt no longer covered, I was questioning him, like, why would you allow this to happen to me? But we all have our ways of growing, you know. Maybe he had to shake up my world and allow me to go through what I went through so that I could be where I am today and share, you know, and share my walk. You know, your walk, I thought I was walking straight. But, you know, little things that I had to clean up as well. So I do appreciate you sharing, you know, your testimony and how you made it out. So that's all I wanted to say.
At this moment, we going to run over a little. We going to definitely run over a little bit today. But, brother, as we always do, we don't always do, but this is one of those nights where it's just alhamdulillah, the vibe. And this is why I asked Brother Mubarak to come on to the show. I identify with so much, especially when he, this is why I wanted him to quote this statement that he made on the Facebook. And, you know, I really would like people on Facebook to do more reading to what the people are presenting. A lot of times there's so much content that we can learn, you know, from one another if we just listen sometimes, you know, not any outside noise, you know, like music or anything, you know, just listening, just reading, You know, instead of our attention span being so short that we can't even read two paragraphs, you know what I'm saying, without leaping over to the next post or whatever, it's very imperative for us to take time to contemplate things, you know, to contemplate things, not just look at them and run through it. That experience of, you know, brotherhood I had in the streets with the, that was my biggest problem. You know, my mom, and I used to always say I had a double curse because I didn't, you know, I was so giving to the people, you know, before giving and concerning myself with me. You know, my loyalty was everything for me, you know, to be loyal to the people I walked with. And that loyalty wasn't reciprocated, you know what I'm saying, at a greater great point of my lives. And even when I found Islam, you know, when I found the Salafi Dawa and I began practicing my Islam, you know, a lot of people pushed against me. And it's something I tell people all the time. People who love you, they don't like to see you change. You know, people who love you, they don't like to see you change. And what people don't understand is that, you know, people who love you in the wrong that you're doing, they don't want to see you change to be a positive person. They don't want to see you change to not want to go hit the block and hold the package. They don't want to see you changing, not wanting to go hang out in the clubs and you know, get at the shorties. They don't want to see you change, you know, from being a modest man to being a ludist man and to becoming a modest man. They don't want to see that in you, you know. And just in reverse, the people who love you for the good that you're doing, they don't want to see you change to a person of negativity. They don't want to see you change to a person who wants to go out on the block and hold a package. This is why your mothers and your fathers and your grandparents, this is why they speak to you to call you to, you know, remove yourself from that. To, you know, and changing people, places, and things is a very important thing that we all should consider when we're thinking about our path in life and where we want to be in life. And it's very important. So, bro, Mubarak, you want to take, like, 3 minutes right now to just speak to what you would like to leave the people with tonight?
You know, I just want to say, man, I'm glad that y'all, you know, invited me on. This is something that's kind of different for me. You know, I was offered opportunity to go to the prisons and speak also, just to put it out there, you know. So I'm waiting on some things to hear back from the people so I can go in the prisons and talk to the bros and hold the bros down and so on and so forth. Inshallah ta'ala. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, in order to be an outstanding citizen in society, one has to be embrace Islam, man. You know, there's no other way, you know. And to speak to Ms. Crystal regarding, right, you know, the Creator, you know, I definitely want to say that, you know, the Creator does what He wills, you know. And ultimately, you belong to Him, you know. So whatever He decrees for you, believe it or not, there's some good in that for you. Like I mentioned to you earlier, we may not see that good when it's going on. Excuse me, when it's actually happening, but despite the bad that was in it, there was some good in that situation that you probably couldn't see or detect at that moment. You know, so I definitely want to address that. You know, we have a wise Creator, and a lot of things, you know, that happen to us, you know, we have to understand that, you know, the intellect is very limited. You know, our processing information is very limited. So when something happens outside of that limitation that we can't understand and comprehend, we go haywire.
Right.
We go absolutely haywire. Why this happening? Why that happening? Because the intellect was designed to go to a certain extent or a certain bound that it can't cross. The intellect was designed the same way that dog and that invisible fence, it can't go across that invisible boundary.
The same way with the mind.
We've been programmed and processed in that manner for a particular reason that we don't know. But it's for us to accept that. We have to accept that we're deficient, and certain things that come across us, we're not going to be able to understand and comprehend. We're just not going to, right? But us being intellectual people, we have to sometimes sit back and think about, in that situation that took place, what was some good in it? Because if it was ultimately bad, Ms. Crystal, You probably be on medication. Mm-hmm. You probably be in some type of psych ward or something like that based on that traumatic experience you had.
Right.
Right, but you're here on the podcast talking to us tonight, you know, giving us some benefit, giving us your experience. So, therefore, it had to be some type of good in it. It had to be.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. most definitely.
You know what I mean?
It,
so,
you know, yeah. Closer walk, well, most definitely a closer walk in faith, you know. I think at the age of 17, you know, I had someone to break in the house on me, and I was, by 17, I was a missionary. I was singing in the choir. I was dancing in the dance ministry. I was, you know, and I would say having routine church. So it wasn't like I was real. I was taking myself through the emotions of church, but I didn't have the relationship. And then when
right,
that happened,
I
started contending with God, then that's when we start having a relationship.
Okay, I understand.
I wanted to say, if I'm gonna let all my guests speak. I'm gonna let my co-host first speak. Krista, is there any closing words you want to say to Brother Mubarak in the audience?
I just appreciate you, and you know, we all, you know how they say, each one teach one, like the young lady said. But you most definitely, I enjoy, you know, having a dialect with you and just understanding that we all, everyone can, you know, listening in can most definitely learn from, you know, just the conversation alone. So I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Good luck.
Brother Hassan?
Indeed. You know, I just want to really, really give a big up to Brother Mubarak, man, because I can appreciate the efforts that you're putting forth to ensure that there's what we call divine unity. So I believe that a larger die is unity, and that Shaitan causes division. And so, like, if we're really striving to unify, then it comes through ID, and you're striving to be an example for those around you to be able to see through your deed, right, that they might be able to have a better walk in their life. They may be able to take something from your life and apply it to their own. And so if we all striving to do that, then we can really bring about the community that we desire, the society that we seek. And we got to start with self. Start with self, and then family, then community, right? And then nation, and then the whole entire world. So it starts with self first. So I can appreciate every aspect of what you brought tonight, brother. I just want to thank you for coming on the show, man, once again. We'd love to have you back.
You know, no.
Come
go
on,
ahead, bro. You good?
Come on,
good. That's one of the songs to the brother. Alhamdulillah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, I reward you. You know what I mean, for your good words and things like this, man. You know, I'm just here, brother. You know, I'm just here, man. I'm just a servant. That's it, man. You know, you know, that's it. You know, and I enjoyed you guys also, man. Speaking with Miss Crystal and the brother and you yourself, man. You know, was very and likewise the call-ins, man. Very inspirational people. You know, trying to help each other out with kind words and kind gestures and things like this. So I really appreciate it, man. And you know, hopefully, you know, I'm invited back pretty soon, or you know, things like this. And if not, then you continue to strive and continue to do what you do best, man. Is aid the people and try to assist the people the best way possible. You know what I mean?
Now y'all see why I had to have this brother come on the show. A lot of love, man. You know, I knew Mubarak, man. He was a young brother. He's still young. He's younger, but he, you know, I look at his maturity. It's just inspiring. It's inspiring a lot. You know, my heart trembles a lot because it's just. I'm so grateful. You know, I have such beautiful people in my lives. You know, my co-hosts are not just my co-hosts. They're my family. You know, they mean so much to me. They're my family. And, you know, it's an honor and grateful, a graciousness that Allah has placed upon me to even have this platform. You know, this platform was something that was introduced to me by my youthful companion, Brother Jay Sean, who we grew up together on 17th Avenue, Patterson. And, You know, I never seen or foreseen myself even doing anything relative to what we're doing right now. But, you know, Allah's Qadr, Allah's decree for us, really, you know, after 25 years of being behind the barbed wire city, you know, being in the barbed wire city, man, and to be out here doing what I'm doing now, you know, being an activist in the community and as a Muslim, you know, it's tough. You know, because I get criticism from both sides of the fence, from the believers and the non-believers. You know, I get criticism, you know, and for doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? For striving in the right thing. And it's like we really have to hold firm to the rope of Allah. We have to hold firm to that rope, you know, and not say why God or how God, but just know and trust in God. Put that tawakkul, that trust in God, and knowing that, you know, his direction is the direction of you know, success. And I've had to hold firmly to, and I thank my family for that. You know, I have a strong family support, and I'm grateful for their love. And this is, you know, an extension of that. My family is what you see pushing me right now. You know, Mubarak is my family. I love Mubarak. That's my brother in faith, and I'm very proud of him. Very proud of him. To see him on the minbar calling the people to good and knowing what he came through, because many of us don't make it through that. We either end up in the grave, some people end up insane, some people end up remaining the rest of their lives behind that barbed wire city. You know, and we know many who are still there today fighting to attain what we have been graced to attain. So with that, I want to thank calling in, sister. You are part of a Point of Impact family. We welcome you to call in anytime, and at any time you're welcome to, you know, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. And anything that you need our assistance in, please reach out to us and let us know. You are part of a Point of Impact team, so you give us a call anytime you need it. And Brother Mubarak, I want to give you my salams. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother. Continue to reward you and guide you upon the sirat al-mustaqim and your family as well. Jay Shaw, you want to say anything before we go?
No, just another great show. You know what I mean? This show is powerful. And it's just, is dealing with the truth. You know how they say that the power is the truth, and the truth is the power. Everybody just stay blessed. Peace.
So everyone, remember, at this time, I want you to just stop what you're doing, man. Stop what you're doing and do something right now. Right now that's going to benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community, your locality. Okay, let's all, you know, take a stride towards the right, like upright upliftment of life, and may everyone be safe. And if there's anything that we can address, please contact us, Community United Focus Cuffs, Freedom Over Everything Foes. You know, contact us. Give us a DM, hit us on Facebook. You know. We'll love to address any issue that you have and anything that we can assist you in. We are here to address criminal justice reform, also healing of the family, you know what I'm saying? And we also address drug and alcohol addiction. We address social ills. So reach out to us. We have avenues. We have organizations that are available, Defenders of Justice. Hassan, what's the organization?
Virginia Prison Justice Network.
That's right. Hit us up, man. We about boots on the ground. We about putting that work in. Just reach out to us, and we would definitely, if we can't aid you, we'll strive to direct you to those who can aid you. That's what we're here for. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Brother Mubarak. And I want to thank Sister LaToya for calling in, and thank everyone who listened. And please, remember, y'all, press one. Share with us what, you know, we need insight. We need the content because we need to strive to continue to uplift one another. So y'all call in, say a little something. Let us know you're there, okay? Everyone, we're going to say good night. We're going to say good night, y'all.
Good night.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace. Good night, everyone.
Good night.